James chapter 1, albeit verses 12 through 18 to start off with. And this whole run, if you were in Sunday school, I'll repeat a little bit of what I said during the Sunday school a little bit, but it's going a little different direction. And today I want to talk about do not be drawn away. Do not be drawn away. I forgot to mention Mark's at drill, and so pray for him this morning. He's off at drill, and so lots of people are a lot of places, so... All right, James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's several crowns in the Bible. You get an opportunity to earn those crowns depending on what you do and go through. And so we got a crown here. You can earn a crown of life. And it appears that those that love God enough to endure temptation without failing, they'll get that crown in heaven. And you want to earn crowns. Not everybody gets a crown in heaven, but if you endure temptation and love God throughout it and stick with him, then you'll be fine. You get the crown. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. That's what we're talking about today. Of his own lust and enticed. I mean, lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I'm honored to be able to preach your word, and I'm honored to be with these folks who are here, the good folks. And Lord, you've blessed us with some faithful people. Love our church, Lord, and I thank you for people with a hunger for your word. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be working in my mind and my body that to control what is said, what isn't said. I pray that we would have practical application and each one of us would be challenged and helped through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. Lord, the Word is amazing and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and doesn't return void. Yet you said it's also the Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. Well, no, we'll read Bible verses here and we already have, and Lord, we want to understand it, and then we want to be help personally. And I pray that we would be helped personally, and you speak to us personally, and do a mighty work, Lord, in our hearts and minds through the Spirit of God. Please, Lord, we just ask for your hand, for you to dwell among us, for you to help the brokenhearted and refresh us and convict us and help all of us leave here closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, you're blessed if you succeed in enduring temptation. That's what it said, blessed is the man. And so if you're a person who goes through some hard times, some trials and temptation, just understand if you pass, you get an opportunity for the crown of life in heaven and great rewards. And so it's a great opportunity. I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to, I was talking to someone this week about how... I did not enjoy the hardships of my early training for ministry. It's very difficult, but I'm so glad I went through them because it made the rest of the ministry a lot easier. And enduring temptation. You're blessed if you get to endure it and continue on. And so just don't feel sorry for yourself. If you get a lot of temptation, it seems like you get special temptation. Understand, Jesus was in all points tempted like us. Understand the Bible says you'll never be tempted above you're able. Also, there's no temptation but such as is common to man. We all get tempted by Satan, and understand that. Next, understand that God does not tempt us to do wrong. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God is not tempting you. Now, Satan tempts you. And we get tempted, where our flesh tempts us, the world tempts us, but you're not tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil. He has no desire for evil. He's not going to try to get you to do evil. God will test you to see if you will keep on going. God might let trials come in your life and so you can come forth as gold, but he will not tempt you to do evil. He might, like in Job's case, let Satan have at you, and Satan will tempt you. But he limits and he filters out your temptations where you're never tempted above what you can handle. And I know it gets up there pretty close sometimes. Sometimes you're right on the edge saying, oh, I can't take this. But you'll never be over-tempted where God says he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But he never tempts you. See, God, it says every good and every perfect gift, the next verse, comes from above. The good things come from God. The bad things come from Satan. Just think of it that way. Now, some bad things come because God allows it. And there are bad things in our life, and they're tragedy. And Job was the example of that, and many of the things. Jonah, the gourd got eaten away and fell down, and he roasted in the sun. And God allowed that, and God brought the gourd out there to do that. And God prepared a gourd, but it was teaching Jonah something. But every good and perfect gift, good things come from God. God made a perfect world with no pain, no sorrow, no death. He's going to make a new world and a new heaven with no pain and sorrow and tears and death. Don't think, now again, man's sin is a cursed world, bad things happen, Satan's active, God lets us be tempted. But understand, it's not God tempting you. The Lord is for you. He says that in Ezekiel. He says, behold, I am for you. He says in Isaiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and they are thoughts of peace. Well, he wants us to be blessed. Now, sometimes we earn punishment, but whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But understand the temptation isn't from God. The blessing is from God. Number three, there is a process that begins with temptation that ends with death. And it says, but every man is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and sin, and lust when it hath conceived. Conceived is like somebody has a baby. Lust, when it conceives, it has a baby called sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth, just like you bring forth a child, brings forth death. So lust has a child named sin. Sin has a child that's called death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The end of sin is death. And that's the end of the process. The wages of sin is death, and it's spiritual death. In the day that you eat the fruit thereof, in Genesis, ye shall surely die. Sin, the end of those things is death, the Bible says in Romans 6. Many, many verses that teaches that sin's end is ultimately death. And that's where it ultimately goes, and that's a process. But that process starts with being drawn away. Being drawn away. All right, Timmy. Oh, let's see. Dave, can you get me a donut? Sure. Get me any old donut's fine. We'll work. And we're going to illustrate this a little bit, being drawn away. Timmy, I'm going to use you in a sec here. So come on up here, and we'll get back to you in just a sec here. Drawn away is the first step of lust. Lust brings forth sin. Sin brings forth death. So if we want to stop, we want to stop the process of being drawn away. We want to stop the process of being drawn away. Because these are going to bring forth their children if we get to them. It's conceiving. Okay, so. Brand new heart-shaped. Ooh, a heart-shaped sprinkled donut. And right there. All right, Timmy, come on up here. All right, so here's Timmy. Timmy is the Christian here. We don't want him to sin. Okay? Travis, come on up here. And Robbie, come on up here. We're going to use you guys. Now, let's see. Robbie, you're the devil. You stand right over here. Okay, Travis, come on up here, and Robbie, and this is not typecast, Robbie was here before I was. Robbie shoveled the whole parking lot out there before anybody else got here, so he's an angel, really, so, now, don't eat this, so, right here is the center of the will of God. Anywhere off the platform is death and sin and bad things. And so Timmy here, he's with his Sunday school teacher and with his pastor and with his godly friends, his godly family. He's in the will of God. There's safety here. He's got a whole bunch of blessings. He's got the will of God. He's got God's presence and God's blessing. Satan is always trying to get him off this platform into sin. And he knows sin is when he's got him there is death. But when he's here, all of a sudden, he starts calling him, He says, no, hey, man, over here. And the guy here, don't look at that. That's not good, man. We're praying for him. We pray with him, and we pray, and we keep him, and he's strong, and he's a long way from there. He's got to be drawn away. So guess what happens? He's got a free will, and he looks back over there, and he says, now what he's going to say is, I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to go check it out. So he's being drawn away. Stay over there. You're being drawn away. Okay, now he's not right here. Now he's getting lust. Lust means strong desire. Now he's smelling it. Now he's getting a whiff of it. Now he's looking at it. Okay, he's drawn away. Now he's thinking about it. Now that strong desire, now he's got lust for it. Now you want that donut? That look good?
Oh, I had one, so I can't.
You don't want a donut?
I'll switch with
it. Yeah, there you go. And so he has the lust. Guess what? Lust's going to make him take a bite. So go ahead, take a bite. There he goes. And now Robbie is going to, now when he's done, Robbie's got, he's going to fall off the platform. And now Robbie's got him. Now he's, now spiritual death. Now separation from God. Now he's ruined. All for a donut. So, but the first, come back up here. The first thing that's got to happen is he's got to be drawn away. He's drawn away of his own lust. Ooh, sprinkle donuts. And he starts seeing that. He's drawn away and enticed. Now Satan's showing it to him. Now he's taking a look at it. Now he's thinking about it. Okay, you guys can all be seated. So what the devil's got to do, the first thing he's got to do to you is draw you away. Now there's a thousand different things. He could come over here. He can go over here. He can entice you. But you've got to be drawn away. Now, being drawn away happens a whole bunch of ways. It's basically you taking time to entertain temptation. When Eve stood there and kept talking to Satan, she was being drawn away to talk to Satan. Then the lust kicked in, remember? When she saw the tree was good for food and a tree to make men and to make men wise. And all of a sudden she was drawn away. Now she's enticed. Now she sees that looks good to eat. And I can become wise. You know, that would be awesome. She is now enticed and she's going to sin, take the fruit and eat it. Because where was her husband? We never see Adam responding. We don't see her saying, honey, what do you think? She eats it and later gives it to her husband. She was drawn away, enticed by Satan, conversation with Satan. Remember, the time spent between the knowing is what is right to do and the doing of right is time spent justifying the doing of wrong. So then you're drawn away. You just start the process of just being where something is. Of being in your weak spot, of thinking about it, of having access to something that you shouldn't have. Now you're going to be enticed once you're there. The alcoholic never just puts it in his fridge and just says, you know, I'm not going to think about it, and then doesn't think about it. Okay? It's always an enticement once it's there, once you're drawn away. And, you know, I want to say this. That's why you never get out of church. You're drawn away. If I could tell you, if I could have the people over the years that I've seen who said, you know, I just need a little break from church just to get away. I've had some hard times. I need some time away from church for a while. Who never came back to church, it would fill this room. You never get drawn away. Never let Satan. And by the way, that's when you'll find, before your great times of temptation, you'll find you will begin to have great conflicts and angry thoughts toward your spiritual leaders. Happened in the Bible all the time. They would always begin to demonize, hate the spiritual leader. Why? Because they watch for your soul. And sometimes parents, as a Christian parents, when your kids getting ready to get tempted, all of a sudden your kids will begin to have great conflict with you, and you'll try to get them away from you to some other people who understand. Drawn away, drawn away, drawn away. And it's very, very common. Listen, your best Christian friend, you will find when you're out of town, when they're out of town, you will find, or when the person who is, keeps you held up the strongest, when they're out of town or when you're separated, you'll find that's when the temptation often comes. The devil's constantly trying to get you drawn away to talk to you personally and just show you the fruit and say, wouldn't it be good to be a God knowing good and evil? And so you're drawn away. You're taken away from those who help you. You'll quit answering the phone from those who care for you. You're drawn away, and then the enticement. An enticement is like, wow, and then all of a sudden you smell it. And all of a sudden you want it. Then lust. Lust conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, and when it is finished, brings forth death. And so you don't want to go through that process. You get separated and tempted. Lust birth the sin, the strong desire, and sin brings out that death in you. Let me show you this in Genesis now. Let me take you back to look at Genesis. Just watch one person go through this process. A guy named Lot. Lot was a good guy, the Bible says. And he was hanging around Lot. This is Genesis 13. Lot was around a very godly man named Abraham. Abraham was the person who kept protecting Lot and taking care of Lot. There begins to be a problem in Genesis 13. I'll read you a little bit of a lengthy passage, verse 6 through 13, and watch what happens here. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might be together, for their substance was great, and they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before us? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, all the plain, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as it cometh to Zoar. Now, understand, he could have dwelt here, and Abraham could have dwelt here, and Lot could have went west, and Abraham could have went east. They could have still been in communication. They could have been close. The whole land was well watered in a good land. Yet Lot separates from Abraham, and they had their own strife, and they separated. But he should have kept contact with this man who God was blessing. Yet he not only separates from him, but he goes another direction. Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated himself one from the other, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So now, no big problem yet. He goes east, he goes over towards Jordan, he goes over, and this is a well-watered land, but then he goes and he puts his tent where he was going to dwell. Remember, you have all these sheep and cattle, they take a big, massive space, but he goes and pitches his tent toward the cities there, and the cities he chooses that he's toward, that he's nearby, is Sodom, which is an exceedingly wicked city. So now, is he in Sodom? No. He just pitched his tent. The tent doors were open. He was in the direction. He was toward Sodom. Sodom was right there in the distance, and he was close by, and he was, here's all of our crops, and here's all our land, but we're towards Sodom, and Sodom's our city we'll trade in, and Sodom's the place we'll be. Well, Sodom was an exceedingly wicked city. But he's not in Sodom. Matter of fact, you find in the New Testament, Lot is a good man. It says he's a just man. But the process is not done. Abraham's not there to advise him. He is now near the wicked. Now he's kind of getting towards the edge here, and now he sees all the wickedness there. Now he's going to resist it, but there's going to be some consequences because he is drawn away here towards Sodom. If you look at chapter 14 in verse 12, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now where is he living? Now he's living in the town of Sodom. At first, he just separates. Then he pitches his tent towards Sodom. Now he is a citizen of Sodom, and he's living there. Well, now bad things are going to start happening. This city is so wicked with the Sodomites and the wickedness of that town that God comes to Abraham. Abraham, at first, Sodom got attacked by another king. They took all the inhabitants of Sodom and took Lot and his family captives and dragged them away. And Abraham took his servants and went and delivered them and brought them safe. Maybe he should have said, you know, I better stay closer to Abraham than to Sodom. But he didn't. Goes back, lives in Sodom. God comes to destroy Sodom, and Lot is living there. But it's interesting, Lot was really struggling there. Look at, I'm going to take the New Testament. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. It talks about what Lot was going through in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will apply this to how maybe you could be drawn away and enticed. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And deliver just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, look at, he's a good guy, just Lot, righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now he's being vexed and oppressed. You know what that's like, don't you? When you want to do right and people are just giving you, just garbage is coming at you and just, oh, knock it off. I'm so sick of this. Oh, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. Vex his righteous soul. His soul is being vexed every day. Lot, get out of Sodom. There's no reason to be oppressed every day. And he is there. So the angels come in and they walk into Sodom to destroy it. And they come in and they're gonna be there and they're gonna destroy it. Now turn to chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, behold now, my lords, I pray you, come into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. He says, you can get out of here. And he pressed upon them, verse 3, greatly. Why? Because he knew the homosexuals in that town were going to try to rape these angels. That's how bad the town was. I want to say something. He knew how bad. You're living in a town where two angels walk in and you're afraid they're going to get raped by a bunch of Sodomites. It's not the place to be. Okay? But it says he's sitting at the gate. Understand that phrase there. The leaders of the city, the politicians, would sit at the gate because all the decisions of who came in and came out would go. And every commentary you look at says sitting at the gate means he was a civic leader. He was a leader or a judge in the city. Now he's in the middle and entangled and a part of the city and involved in the city. And maybe he's thinking, I can make some difference here. But he can't make a difference. He tries to get these guys safe and he takes them to his house and they come pounding the door and said, give us these men. And I'm not preaching homosexuality today, but I want to say what they show you on TV of those people is not the whole story. It's an immoral lifestyle and a sinful people. It's wicked. These people were wicked before the Lord exceedingly. And I've had reformed homosexuals tell me, you would not believe. That's why we're so loud. We are so immoral and so bad. We are so unfaithful. He says, you don't want to know how what we do. And I want to say this. He went out and he took them in and Lot was not thinking clearly. He said, take my daughter. She's a virgin. Take her and abuse her all night. Just leave these men. What are you thinking? Where are you? What is wrong with you? They're about to kill Lot. The angels reach out, grab Lot, pull him out, blind all the men. And ends up, what happens is God's going to destroy the city. And he says, Lot. Now, wait a minute. He's now dwelling there. He's now part of the city. He just separated. And Lot He's a righteous man, lots of godly men, lots of good guy, lots trying to stay right. But he is in a situation of enticement. Guess where his kids are? In a place of enticement. Guess who his kids marry? The straight people in Sodom. But they're wicked also. The angel said, we're going to destroy this city. Go grab your family and get them out of here. Lot runs to his son-in-law's house. He runs in the house and says, hey, this city's going to be destroyed. Get out of here. And they laugh at him and thought he was crazy. What are you talking about, Lot? That's silly. That's ridiculous. And he tries and tries to convince them. They mock him. They say, you're crazy. They laugh at him. And his daughters don't go with him. And guess what happens? When God rains fire and brimstone down, his daughters die. His married daughters. Why? Because he's been drawn away. He's in a place of temptation. He's in a place of immorality. He's been drawn away from the safe place, and now he's in an immoral place, and then he feels comfortable there. He gets entangled there, and pretty soon his kids are in there. God destroys the city. They're leaving, and God says, do not look back. His wife looks back, turns to salt. Now he's lost probably two daughters and his wife. Good guy. It's not going well. He's been drawn away. His family's been enticed. He's been oppressed. He's been enticed. He has gone farther and farther and farther and farther. He goes up, and they escape into the mountains. His two remaining daughters, unmarried, get him drunk and commit incest with him. And have children to become enemies of Israel in a big mess and a big disaster. I don't want to get too graphic here, but can I tell you? That's not normally what girls think of doing. Where do you suppose they learn that kind of thinking? If Lot, righteous Lot's soul was vexed from day to day, his whole family was completely destroyed. And Lot was in big trouble, and Lot was vexed and oppressed. Why? He got himself in a place where he just got right out there into the drawn away and the enticement and the lust and the bad world, and he got comfortable there, and he just got used to bad. And it just went farther and farther and farther, and he pretty soon was a member of the city, and he was part of the culture and almost killed himself. Finally, the angels drug him out of town, basically. He said, get out of town. But he wouldn't leave. So I want to say this. You can get very comfortable being drawn away and being in places of temptation and being in places of oppression and vexing and struggling and bad things when you let yourself be enticed when you're drawn away. That's why all week long is supposed to be a close walk with God. Don't think you're going to just get away from God go to God on Sunday and go back into the world and be okay all week long. No. The devil's trying to draw you away all week. And let me say all this also. The person that you're going to be drawn away from and isolate yourself from, that God designed to help you, if you're blessed enough to have a spiritual spouse, is that person. You should talk to them. You should be near them. You should tell your heart. You should be expressive to them. Don't be drawn away from your spouse. And if you're a child, don't be drawn away from your parents, because that's the person God put to help you. And distant couples have very bad things happen. And children who are distant from their parents go off and they go into sin and destruction. You've got to stay not drawn away. Do not let the devil draw you away and entice you. Do not stand there by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and let Satan explain to you why you should eat it. Stay a long way away. Bad things happen, thing after thing. He's sitting at the gate. All these bad things happen. He's vexed from day to day. He's part of the city. He moves into the city. He stays there with him, and he does that. I want to say the good thing about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The good thing about this, in this temptation, I just want to say, don't be drawn away. Don't get out of church. Don't get away from your Christian friends. When you really feel like not talking to the Christians in your life, go talk to them a whole bunch. Say, let's go to lunch. Let's spend some time. Take me to lunch as often as you can. Go in and spend time with them. Spend time with the people who you're being drawn away from. Here's the great news, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Where'd the donut go? Robbie's got it. I'm watching you, Robbie. All right, come on back up here, guys. All three of you come back up here. Bring the donut. There we go. All right. So, come on back up here. And Robbie's back down there. Okay, so here's this guy. He's going to be tempted. Now, we're all going to be tempted, right? So he's called to him. But it's not a big temptation because we're all together. His arms around me, my arms around him. We're all praying together. But there's still a calling there, and there's still a thing. And he still knows there's a donut over there. Okay? He's tempted. But even if he gets all the way over here and he gets drawn away, I am always going to leave an escape route for him if he doesn't want to do it. If I was God, I can say, Lord, Timmy, I know that donut's really good, but you know what? I've got some other donuts over here. Or I can say, you know what? Over here is the way you can get away from that. You know what? I've got a friend who's going to call you right now when you want that donut. Or I gave you a donut earlier before that donut came already because I planned it. And I gave you donuts. You don't want that donut very bad, do you? No. Why? Because I planned for it. And there's always a way of escape. You will never be tempted where you can't say, I just couldn't resist. You could have. Now, once you put yourself here and you're sniffing this whole bunch, escape's a lot harder. When you say, I'm gonna, like I said earlier, I was explaining in Sunday school, when you put the beer in the fridge when you're an alcoholic and say, I'm not going to drink, there's a way of escape. Better call Pastor Fast and have him come flush it all because you're in trouble. Okay? So there's always a way of escape. I'm going to always give him away, but the more you're drawn away, let me just check that out. Let me just think about that. You know, I have a gambling problem, but I'm just going to go to the casino because I like the restaurant. You're being drawn away and enticed. Person who can't handle the internet at their home. Person who just going to think about what they would tell the person when they're angry at them. And they're not really going to tell them off. They're just going to think about what they'd like to say to them. Anytime you start entertaining Satan, why don't you just park here, Satan? Let's just talk about, you guys can be seated. You can just, let's just think about it for a while. And you know, you won't do it, but just, let's just see what it'd be like. You're being drawn away and enticed. I told you about the time I was fasting, and there's a point of fasting where you're not hungry anymore, but there's a point where you're starving. And man, I went, and I was fasting. I was doing pretty good, and then I had to go shopping. I had to go to Costco. And Costco, it was the super duper 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 sample day. And not only was it samples, but the best samples in the world. And not only was the best samples in the world, but I must have been the only customer there because every person get all this, hey, don't you want to try one of these sausages? I mean, they had horns coming out of their heads. I mean, it was unbelievable. Look at these little, you ever had those little ice cream things with bread around them? Little cream things? Oh, man. And then they offer me, I'm like, dodging, trying to get to it. I'm in the motor oil section. Here's some sample lady chasing me. Don't you want to try this new hot dog? I mean, it was terrible. They're enticing me. Costco is not the place to go when you're fasting. You know, not many stores have samples anymore. Remember, how many remember when they used to have samples in all the stores? That was the days, man, when you'd go walk around and get all kinds of samples and act like, you know, put your hat on then and go back again. And you go and you don't want to go there when you're hungry. You just don't want to go there. And there's just times, there's just situations where you need to call somebody, where you don't want to be drawn away, where you don't want to think about it, where you don't want to hang around that person. There's times, and I want to say, one of the most dangerous things you have is isolation. When you say, you know what, I'm just down, I just want to be alone. You know, a lot of times when you're alone, the thoughts you start thinking aren't good. And the devil takes you in a lot of bad places. And you ought to have some fellowship time and give a call and say, you know, can we meet together? It's like, I just need to be with somebody for a while and just with a Christian person and fellowship with them. Do not be drawn away. And then when the devil just wants you to think about it, you say, but it's not wrong to think about it, but it's very vexing. And then you also do not go and live your life in a place. Live your life here, not live your life here. There's just a way to live your life where you're a long way from sin. There's a way to live your life where you're tempted all the time. If you have a drug problem and you hang around the druggies all the time, you're going to have issues. Don't live around those type of people. It's here. I was joking with the pastor. I said, you know, since Washington's changed their laws with the marijuana thing, I just had a big change. I have several members who went from being drug dealers to small businessmen. And not members, trust me. It is not moral, and it's wrong, and it's sinful, and you don't do that. But you're hanging around that crowd. You have it in your home. You have the videos in your house. You're just in a place of enticement all the time. It's much easier to avoid sin than resist sin. And when you're drawn around and you're enticed, that brings forth lust, and now I got to have it. And lust brings forth sin. And sin brings death and regret and destruction. And Lot saw that because he just pitched his tent that direction. But now, well, a lot easier to live in the city. Once you're in a process, the next step doesn't seem like a big step. Once you're in the process of doing wrong things, once you're in a place of temptation, you get used to bad things, and it doesn't seem like a big deal to do the next step. When you're a long way from it, it seems very bad. When you've taken a few steps toward it, it doesn't seem real bad. Sexual immorality is the same way, and addictions are the same way. You would never touch that stuff, and that's why I want to say this. That's why there are so many, what's the term I'm looking for, where marijuana is where you start. Gateway drugs and gateway friends and gateway temptations. The gateway is the drawn away to them and enticed. So you just say, I'm not going to get around that at all. I'm going to stay distant. I'm not going to be drawn away from church. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to spend time with God every day. I'm not going to hang around the wrong crowd. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The companion of fools should be destroyed. I'm going to be in the safe place, right in the will of God, close to the Lord, a long way. You know, if I don't look at that donut, and by the way, guess what? Since I've looked at that donut, guess what I want? A donut. I want a donut right now. This guy tempted me over here. And I want a donut right now. Why? Because I saw it and thought about it and watched Timmy get a bite of it, and I didn't get a bite of it, and I'm sitting here hungry and haven't eaten a bite today, and it's okay. And so, you know, one of the things about the Bible, no, I'm kidding. But you get tempted and you get drawn away and you think about it. If you're not thinking about it, it's not a big temptation. So do not be drawn away. Every man is enticed and he's drawn away of his own lust, enticed, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. You don't want that. Let me say this to conclude. Don't be drawn away. Stay close to God. Don't be drawn away. Stay close to God. Last night I was driving. I'm a pretty experienced driver in the snow. I was in Chicago for 7 years and used to driving in the snow and pretty good at it. And I was driving and I turned down and I was going down Military Road. And Military Road was an ice skating rink. It was ice underneath with snow on top. And I was kind of going slow like everybody else. And the cars were, there was 8 cars piled up in a ditch on the other side of the street. And the car in front of me was a rear-wheel drive car. And we all had to stop. But I stopped a long way behind him. And he started going again and his wheels went zzz and his back end went zzz. And it did like all good Seattle drivers do. You floor it so you can spin your tires more. That is not what you do, California drivers. And and so he starts sliding sideways. But I was a long way behind him. And I could get traction out of front-wheel drive. And I started going. And guess what I did? What I did wasn't dependent on him. He was not going to move anymore. I could just see the way he's spinning his tires. But I had time to get around him because I wasn't too close to him. I wanted to go and be where I was safe. I wanted to keep my distance from other people. I wanted to have room to decide and make changes. I didn't want to be right behind the guy. When he starts spinning, he could roll right back into me or I can't get around him. I kept my distance and fortunately I was able to get around him and keep on going down the road and I was just fine. And I'll pray for him. I don't want to be living my life on the edge here where I'm constantly in trouble and enticed and worried and almost on the edge of sinning and always saying, man, it's just so hard not to sin. It is hard not to sin. It's hard enough when you're here, when you're standing right here drawn away and enticed all day. Because you have bad things and bad people and bad situations around you, then you're bound to fall and bound to fail and always say, man, I wish I was a better Christian. Why is it so hard? Because you put yourself there. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, we bring on a lot of our temptation. We bring it on. So stay close. That's why I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting, whenever you can go. Just be close to God. And don't be drawn away. When you feel yourself getting distant from God, from church, from the Christians, from the Bible, draw back, because that enticement spot, standing there talking to Satan and looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're all but gone. Don't entertain temptation. You'll get it, and then you say no, but don't sit there entertaining it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to learn a little bit about how our temptation and sin works, Lord. Help us to be careful. Help us to be open to the ones we love. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to be in a spot of safety, Lord. We thank you that you give us a little bit of this process. Lord, many times people blame you because they have so much temptation in their life, but really they're putting themselves in the enticement spot purposely. They're living right outside Sodom, and then they're going to be living inside Sodom. And I pray we wouldn't do that, Lord. I pray you'd see the process of being drawn in by evil and Satan, that it's one step at a time and one comfort zone being taken away and now we're very comfortable with this situation. Now we're so close to this, you might as well do this. Help us to realize that we've got to be never drawn away and enticed. We've got to be careful about that, Lord. Help us not to follow the devil's lures. And help us to be careful in these things. Help us to be close to you. Thank you. You gave us a Savior who loves us, who died for us, who gave us a way to heaven through Jesus Christ. We just pray today that we would live in a situation where we don't let ourselves be tempted and let ourselves be enticed. And whatever else we need to do, whatever else you spoke to us, I pray we respond to this in Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed. Are you being drawn away? My prayer in this process of just kind of just saying what the Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Are you letting yourself be drawn away and enticed? That's the question today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. who would say, you know what? I'm letting myself be drawn away and enticed. You might be like, Lot, I haven't, you know, I'm doing okay, but you know, boy, it's tough here. Get out of there. See, sin takes you in one step at a time. First, Eve talked to Satan, then she saw that it was a good food and it would taste good. Now she's going in the process of entertaining it. It's time for you to step back and say, no, I'm not going to go to this place of temptation. I'm not going to let my mind stay here. I'm not going to be drawn away. I'm going to stay close. I'm going to use the things God's given me. And you know what? I'm not going to entertain these immoral or bad or temptuous thoughts. I'm going to say today, God's speaking to me. I'm letting myself be drawn away and enticed too much. I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to go back. I'm going to be tempted anyway, I know, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to be drawn away. I'm going to go back to where I was drawn from. God spoke to me. I need to do this. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Let me pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right now? That's me, Pastor. I need some prayer in this. I'm being enticed and drawn away. The devil's, you know, I'm doing it on my own sometimes. I'm being drawn away a little bit. You can put your hands down. I see those hands. God bless you. Who today you say maybe God's speaking to me about something else? Some of the message, maybe not drawing away an enticement, but God's speaking to me about something else. And just while you were speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about something different. Would you pray for me also that I'd be able to leave this room totally right with God? God's spoken to me tonight, this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up right now? God's speaking about something else. And just in the process of this message, God bless you. Many, many hands with that. Many hands all around the room. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you in just a sec. We'll have an invitation in a moment. We'll have Peter start coming. And when I finish, he'll play Just As I Am. And if God's speaking to you, we're going to have an invitation. If you're not saved today, just come down and tell me, Pastor Byron, I'm not saved. If you're saved today, but being tempted, or if God's speaking about something else, do business with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for the word of God and the spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that we would stay away from being drawn away and enticed. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Many people raise their hands, you're speaking to them about something else. And I thank you for your spirit moving, even if the words coming out of my mouth aren't what you're speaking about. Others who are being enticed and drawn away, may they stay close to you and away from the edge of temptation. And I pray today that each one of us would get victory and you would give us the way of escape, that we'd get victory and be able to bear it and stay in victory. And thank you for your word today. Help us not to be like Lot, who just make one step after another into a place of great trial and temptation and destruction and death even in the end. Please, Lord, help us to stay close and give everybody who raised their hand a victory in whatever they needed in and help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed.